This morning reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone.'" The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all the authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'You will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all this temptating, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him.
Test. Test. Is it working? Great. Hi. hi, everyone. Thank you, Claydling, for reading the reading. We are going to start our sermon today again with a WAF checklist. At the moment, we're going through the sermon series where we're looking at our spiritual lives and just checking where are we at with different things in our spiritual journey. And so I invite you to have a read through the questions. Today we're looking into reading the Bible and sort of make a tick on how well you think you're doing. So there's no judgment, and also you don't have to show this to anyone. This is just for your own personal check-in. How am I doing with reading the Bible? Thank you, team, for distributing all the pieces of paper. Yes, so we're just looking into different questions like, you know, how often do I read, and do I know what is written in the Bible, and do I converse with others about it, or all the different things that are included in what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in reading the Bible. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to just have a read through the checklist. You are obviously welcome to take it home with you as well, as a reminder, or if you wanted to make some notes on the front, then you'd be welcome to do that too, and to continue to think about these things. Now, Robin helpfully pointed out that I should probably introduce myself. Hello, my name is Tabia, and I'm part of the team here in the parish, and I get to share with you about reading the Bible today, which is very exciting. A few weeks ago, it was my mum's birthday, and on one of our regular Skype dates, she told me all about it. The people that had come, and the food she had served, and all the flowers that she had gotten. She sent the photo, bunches of flowers. It was beautiful. And one of the people she mentioned was my grandfather, who, on arrival at her birthday, came and shared with her some scripture that he had read this morning and felt like he wanted to share with her on her birthday for the coming year. And she just felt really encouraged by that and said, "You know, that's the thing about Opa," which is what I call my grandpa. Opa, he always comes with some scripture, doesn't he? Like, to any birthday, he shows up with some scripture that he just wants to share, you know, with you to encourage you on your birthday. And then I said, "That's funny, because whenever I get a letter from my grandparents," which happens sort of every 3 months or something, because they don't have internet, we write letters to each other from New Zealand to Germany, they include some scripture as well to say, "Tabia, we want to encourage you with this verse," or just to proclaim this over your life, this is the truth. anything like that, always in their letters that they sent to me. And then I realized, ever since I've known my grandpa, I've known about him that the first thing he does when he gets up in the morning is he sits down at his desk and he opens his Bible and he reads and he prays for people. He does that every morning without fail. It doesn't matter which day of the week it is, doesn't matter if it's the holidays or not. My grandpa always, the first thing he does is he sits down with his Bible and he reads the word and he prays for people. We all know people like this, don't we? People that are really inspiring because they know what is written in the Bible and they read it regularly and they spend time with Jesus thinking about the truth. Now, this should be the norm for all of us. This is what we all are called to do. So today we're looking at reading the Bible, what that looked like for Jesus, what that has to do with a healthy spiritual life. And part of that, or why, or the areas that is interesting for is that, can you read this from there? Probably not, eh? Do I have to lift it up? Here we go. In our response to muck in our lives, either that comes from outside at us or that is inside of us, in response to our identity, our life choices, the organic, sort of the everyday life decisions, and in response to evangelism and mission. And the first thing I want to look at is, of course, the reading that we had this morning of Jesus' temptation by the enemy. So what happened before our story today was that John had been baptizing people, and Jesus was one of them that he had baptized. And as soon as Jesus had come out of the water, the heavens opened up, and the voice of God was heard saying, "You are my son whom I love. You bring me great joy." So Jesus had just been affirmed in his identity as the Son of God, and that he was loved and precious. And then the Spirit led him into the wilderness, where there was nothing. For 40 days, there were no people, there was no food. He was fasting for 40 days. Now, 40 days is the longest you can go without food. After that, your body starts shutting down and you die. So by that point, he would have been very hungry, which it also said, actually. He was hungry. And he might have not, he was not eating, he was fasting. But what he was doing was instead was spending time with God and being filled by the Holy Spirit. So his stomach was empty, but his spirit was filled. For us, it's often the other way around, isn't it? Our stomachs are very full, but our spirit, maybe not so spirit-filled sometimes. So Jesus intentionally went away to be filled by the Spirit, and then the devil comes and tempts him, and the first thing he tempts him with is bread. What his body needs, the devil goes, right, I'll offer that to him. Surely he could turn those stones into bread. And it wouldn't surprise me if Jesus hadn't thought about that sometimes as well. You know, he was hungry for 40 days. He might have already had that thought, surely I could turn those stones into bread. But he didn't. And then when the devil comes and says, why don't you do that? He counters him with scripture and says, man does not live on bread alone, but the word of God is more important than bread. Even in his hungry state, he said, the word of God is more important. And then the enemy goes, right, I'll offer him something else. And he says, here, you can have all the kingdoms of the world without having to go on the cross. Now, God had already promised him all the kingdoms of the world because he was ruling with God. The catch was he was going to have to go on the cross. And the enemy says, here, have it without having to go on the cross. And Jesus goes, serving God is more important than any shortcuts that the enemy could offer that then make you have to serve the enemy. And again, he counters with scripture and quotes, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And then the enemy goes, great, he keeps throwing scripture at me. I'll do the same to him. And he takes two verses and says to Jesus here, what about those? And Jesus immediately recognizes that the enemy has taken them out of context. That is not actually what they were meant to say. And he counters again with the Bible saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is just so inspiring how Jesus not only knew the words of Scripture off by heart and could just quote them at any time, or in his moment of already feeling a bit lack of food, but he also understood his mind was shaped by them, so that he understood when there was when the enemy was twisting the words and not using them in the right way. And this is how Jesus responded to the muck that was thrown at him. He knew the word, and he was able to apply it in the situation. And the same goes for our internal muck. You know, the thoughts like, I'm not good enough, or this is something I've messed up again, or I can't possibly do that, or that you know what the muck is inside you. We can respond to that by knowing what is written in the Word of God, and that leads us straight into our identity. Our identity as children of God is, we are children of God. That is it. That is who we are at our deepest core, is we're children of God. Now, the world tells us, all sorts of things like we need to have better cars, or we need to lose weight, or we should have gotten that promotion already. But if our focus was on the Word of God, which tells us in Romans 8, neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor any other thing can separate us from the love of God, or Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, or Isaiah 43, you are precious and honored in my sight and I love you, then those other voices in the world don't have such a hold on us, because we are rooted in the truth that says we are loved, and that is who we are. And then that has an impact on the choices we make in our lives, how we live our lives, in which direction we go in. In my early 20s, when I had started working as a youth worker, I realized that that was not exactly what I had wanted to do with my life. And I was sitting there going, okay, Jesus, so what is it that I'm meant to be doing with my life? What is your call? And I kept asking him, seeking for his vision on my life. And where is my place? As you do when you're 20 years old. And he kept saying the words to me, just love them. And I kept thinking, that's great, but who? But that is actually something that stuck with me to this day, that whatever I'm doing, whether I am doing youth work, which is a great thing to do, or whether I preach a sermon, or whether I wash the dishes at home, because I live with a lot of people and there are a lot of dishes, the question that I ask myself always is, who do I need to love right now, and how do I do that? And again, just love them was from Scripture. That's a narrative in the Bible. In Mark 12, we read, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Or in John 15, we read, love one another as I have loved you. Or in 1 John 4, we read, we love because he first loved us. Like, all the Bible keeps talking about loving people. And so I have recognized this as my call on my life, that what I am called to do is to love people in whatever way they need that. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was the call for all of us. But I certainly have recognized it for myself, and you might have other things. But again, Scripture helps us in recognizing what is God calling us into, what are the big life choices that we need to make. But he helps us. If we know the Word of God, he helps us in guiding us in the right direction. And then, of course, that also flows into the everyday decisions, the organically happening decisions of our everyday life. I regularly get overwhelmed by the world and myself. And so the other day I was sitting in my chair writing in my diary about all the things I was being overwhelmed about, and how I was going to, carry on, I didn't know. And so I ended my rant with, so Jesus, what do you think? And the first thing that came into my mind was, Pray about everything, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Does anyone know where that is from? Philippians 4. That's right. Now, I have memorized this verse many times in my life because I keep coming back to that. It's a great verse to memorize. And so because that was already sitting at the back of my head, that came to me. In that moment, Jesus was saying, this is what you need to remember. Pray about everything, and the peace will come and guard your heart and mind. And I now can't even remember what I was being overwhelmed about, because I prayed about it and the peace came. And so scripture can guide us in our everyday as well, in the little things, in the... I truly believe that that is how Jesus lived his life. He knew, he had memorized the prophets and the Torah, the parts of the Old Testament, and he it just came out of him in his everyday life. That is how he lived his life. And then, of course, we are all called to make disciples, tell the world about the good news and make disciples, as we read in Matthew 28. We can't do that if we don't know what the good news are. And the good news I've written down here. And if anybody has any questions, you know, that they throw at us, we can answer them with the knowledge of what is written here. I want to get us excited about knowing the Word of God, and not just knowing what is written, but also having our minds shaped by it, so that the things that come out of us are shaped by what God has said. Now, this is just a short sort of list of why I think it's important to read the Bible. I'm sure there are many more areas, and I'm also sure that there are quite a few people in this room right now who are in fact really good at this already. And like my grandfather, get up every morning to read their Bible first thing, or, who in conversation already share with me Bible verses and stuff, which is just so inspiring, and I love you, and please keep going. But there's also many of us who struggle with this sometimes and go, where do I even start? This is huge. Or I read and I read and I just don't get it. I sit in the sermon right now, and I have no idea what she's talking about, and that is okay. But I do want to encourage us to make a start. If we're already reading, or if we're not reading quite enough yet, to go deeper with it, and to make a start. And it could be with something little, or it could be with something big. Try out something new or something old. We are now going to look into some ideas of what we could do. Now, Caleb likes his shapes, and I like my lists. So we're going to make a list today. and we're going to, this is a very inconclusive list, because, of course, there are a million ways of how you can read the Bible. And we're looking into how to get to know the Bible. What can we do to get to know what is written in the Bible? And we're looking into, how can I then understand what I've just read about? And then we're looking into a few ways of how I can make this fun. Good. Because we all need fun in our lives, and reading the Bible is fun. So, getting to know, the first thing, the easiest, the most obvious thing to do is to read. Read the Bible at least 3 times a week, if not more. Just to get to know it. The more you read it, the easier it is to understand what is in it. And then the next thing actually is to memorize it. I have started memorizing lately, and it is a really that actually should be in this column as well, because as soon as you start repeating the words over and over again, you get a better understanding of what they mean. And I have someone in my small group who shall not be named today, who once told me, I can't memorize. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't believe you. And so I just kept encouraging everybody, my whole group, to memorize. And the other week, she She shared with us a verse, a whole verse that she had memorized. And I'm just saying everybody can memorize, yeah? Even if it is just a verse, that verse is going to be important. And then after that verse, you could try another verse. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And then you can do whole psalms or whole chapters or whole books. I haven't managed a book yet. But how cool would it be to know a whole book off by heart? That is what Jesus did. He knew whole books off by heart, and then he could pull them out of his head. So yes, memorize. Read a whole book in one go. If you have not a lot of time, you could start with a small one. There's some books that have one chapter or four in the New Testament. Philippians is a great one. Read a whole book in one go. It gives you a better understanding of the whole picture of what is happening in the book. So yes, come to Sunday services and small groups. We read the Bible and we talk about it. And so coming to things really helps in getting to know better what is written. And if you need a small group, come and speak to me after the service. I'm happy to hook you up. And then there's also, if you're not so good with the reading, then you are most welcome to listen to an audio version of the Bible. They are available for free. You just need to find it or come to me and I'll help you find it. And that is an easy thing to do while you're cleaning your bathroom or while you're driving in your car or while you're going for a walk. Listening to the Bible is a great way of getting to know what is written. So those are just five ideas of how to get to know the Bible easily. In a Kiwi accent. Bible Society is a great address to get inspired about reading the Bible. I was looking into it and I was like, this is so good. I want to do all these things. So Bible Society is a great one to Google. Go for it. All right. To understand the Bible better, another thing I have recently started is to meditate on the Word. I was trying to drain my brain in not focusing on fear, but focusing on the Word of God instead. So for 21 days, I spent 15 minutes each morning meditating on just one sentence. So I would pick a different sentence every day and set my alarm for 15 minutes. And then I would literally just have that sentence in front of me. So I would read it, like, for example, the Lord is my shepherd. And then I would just repeat it a few times. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then I would take each word, you know, the Lord. What does the Lord mean? Is my. What does that have to do with me? Shepherd. What even is a shepherd? And then I would repeat it again and again. And I would have moments of silence. And if my brain got sidetracked, I would just repeat it again. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then I would think about what, you know, I would imagine myself as a sheep. And then you can do heaps of things if you're meditating on just one sentence for 15 minutes. It's a long time. But it was amazing because almost every day, I would remember the sentence from the morning again in some way, shape, or form, and be inspired once more about what I'd meditated on in the morning. And I would understand it in a different way, or I was just encouraged by it, or it would suddenly fit in the situation. Or so try meditating on scripture. It's very good. Another thing to help you understand the Bible better is to read commentaries or watch videos on the Bible Project. They do awesome stuff. It's just so easy to understand. I like now always watch videos from the Bible Project whenever I prepare a sermon or anything. They are so helpful in making you understand the context and the main message. And commentaries, of course, or other books that have to do with the passages you're reading. Another thing to help understand is to read the same passage for a whole week or a whole month. Try reading the same passage for a whole month and see what happens. Does it, you know, take on new meanings? Do you get bored. Can you learn it off by heart? Or read the same passage in different translations and see what happens. What comes to life if you read different words but the same story? Another thing that really helps with understanding the Bible better is to use your imagination. So I was saying earlier that I was imagining myself as a sheep, you know, because the Lord is my shepherd. What would that mean if I was a sheep? So imagine yourself in the story. What would you feel like? Who would you be in the story? What would it smell like? Couldn't you taste the food, feel the sun on your face? What thoughts would be going through your head? Where would you go after the story has happened? Just take a moment and use your imagination. It's a beautiful thing. And that helps in understanding scripture better. And one that Jesus clearly teaches us, even in the story today, is to fast and pray. When we abstain from food, or some people can't fast food because it's not healthy for them, there's other things you can fast, like watching TV or going on Facebook or anything like that. When we take time out to not do the thing we usually do and spend it reading the Bible instead or praying, then God shows up in really significant ways. So I inspire you to fast and pray while reading the Bible. Even if you only, like, if you start small with a day without chocolate or is that low? You know deep in your heart what it is that you can fast about. So those are some things that help us understand the word better. Of course, there are more of those as well. This is just a small selection of ideas I had. And then, of course, it's good to make it fun. So first thing is find a friend you can read with. Meet up in a cafe or invite them over for a cup of tea and read a story together and talk about it. What a great way to get to know the word better. Another thing you could do is read it out loud. That feels really funny in the beginning, but then actually it's really fun. And it helps our brain understand things differently when we hear, not just read them, but hear them out loud as well. So find a friend, read out loud. And then something fun that we do, which is actually a tradition from my grandfather, who I mentioned in the beginning of this sermon, is we read the psalm of the age that we're turning on our birthday. So Hayden turned 25, and we celebrated last night, and we read Psalm 25 together. And then you can just, you know, carry on reading Psalm 25 throughout your next year of life and see what happens with understanding that psalm better. That's a fun thing to do. Another fun thing we tried once when I was living with Caleb and Billy in England was during Lent, we read through the whole New Testament. It's actually possible. You only need to read about 8 chapters a day. So we met up every day and we read 8 chapters together, no discussions or anything. We just read and then we went to bed. Sometimes it was in the middle of the night because we were so busy and didn't have time, but we wanted to get it done. That was a really great way to understand the New Testament because we were just reading it continually for 40 days. And then another fun thing I find is to find videos or things related to the Bible. There's a new, or this might not be so new anymore, but there's a TV show called The Chosen that has come out. It's online for free, and it's based on the life of Jesus. And I've only watched the first episode, but I really enjoyed it. And that is a great way to get to know the Bible better because it's the Jesus stories in a TV show. Who wouldn't want to watch that? But there's also other things like that that you can find that make learning about the Bible fun. So, I hope I was able to encourage you to dive deep into Scripture. If none of them speak to you, find something else, but find something to go deep with Jesus and grow in your spiritual life with the Word of God. I'm just going to pray. We thank you, God, that you have given us your word and that we are all able to read, and if not, that we can watch, and that you you speak to us through your word, and it is applicable in our lives. And I pray that you stir a fire in our hearts, that this week and as we go from here, we are excited about your word, and we're excited about going deeper and meeting you in new ways through Scripture. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.